Wonderful. Let's talk to the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank you for your amazing, your kind, your gracious. There's nobody like you on all the earth, and we appreciate you for your loving kindness, your tender mercy. We appreciate you for being the God of our salvation, the God who never forgets us, always looking out for us. And we bless you today for another opportunity to share in your word on a Wednesday night. I bless these, your participants, bless those who are coming to become participants, that you might be glorified. And all that we do and say in Jesus' name. Thank you now. Amen. Well, good evening, everybody. It's a great day to be alive. If you could text somebody you know and ask them if they come into Bible class, it would be very helpful. I'm sure that everybody got the text because, hey, I didn't get anything back. We're going in a little blind tonight because there was no sermon on Sunday to tie this to because the way the Spirit of God moved on Sunday, never got to the sermonic moment, but this is the text we will be using. I could have paused tonight, excuse me, and did something else, but I don't want to mess up our momentum. I want us to keep moving as we move into this text. Now, if you have your app available, the notes are on the app. If you go right now to your app, let me go open it up myself. Jesus, help me, Lord Jesus. Opening my app, and then I'm going to go to more, and then go to notes, and it's a stewardship workbook module 4, 5, and 6. Do you guys see that?
Wow. Okay. Look at you.
That's a yes, that's a no, maybe so.
You say go to the, hold on, I have to find it. You say go to the church app.
Go to your church app.
Okay.
And hit more at the bottom and go to notes.
Okay.
You see where it says stewardship workshop modules 4, 5, and 6?
Yes.
Right, so we'll be able, if you hit that, we're going to be dealing with module 5. You scroll up till you see module 5. Don't be like me and go to module 6.
it begins with a 3-month series on giving, right?
Where you at? Yes, yeah, so go to module 5. That's number 4. So module 5 starts with giving as trust. Session 5, giving as trust. Matthew 6, 24 through 33. You have that, Zanita?
Yeah, I just got to get to the actual module.
Yeah, I had to scroll up too. And I'm going to use this app as well because it's much bigger on the app than it is on my in my other spot. Excuse me, let me clear my throat, everybody. I'm about to say, let me clear my throat. Right. Let me see if I send a mass text to tell people in Bible class. I shouldn't, but I'm going to. We have to be about what we're supposed to be about. All right, let's get at it. So, Stewardship as Worship Session 5. We've been in this thing for 5 weeks now, four sermons. This is our 5th week as we deal with stewardship as God has instructed me to go forth and make sure we do what we're called to do as believers in Christ. And I am thankful to God that he's chosen this for us. So I think we're in the right season for this to take place. I believe that God has called us to do something miraculous in this space so that we can be all that God has really called us to be. Cut off. I'm sorry, I'm getting an echo in my ear, guys. I'm sorry. That's just bugging me. I just can't deal.
Now I can actually hear it. Okay.
What's
More time, Anita?
Well, I didn't hear it until you had actually just said something.
Okay, yeah, it was bugging me. And I couldn't deal. All right, I'm better now. Praise his holy name. So again, you guys can see me and see the text, right? See the picture, right? Right. So we're dealing with giving as trust now. You cannot serve two masters. Every financial decision you make is a vote about who you trust. That's our tagline for tonight out of Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 through 33. You cannot serve two masters. Every financial decision you make is a vote about who you trust. And I suppose we should just do a reflection on what we know, what do we believe trust to be. How would you guys describe trust?
Without doubt.
Wholeheartedly. So I would say trust is making oneself vulnerable or putting my all in somebody else's hands. So when it says you cannot serve two masters, every financial decision you make, it's a vote about who you trust, who I'm vulnerable to, who have I made myself vulnerable to, who I've allowed to get in my personal space. Y'all get that?
Yes.
Okay. When your finances feel tight, what is your first instinct? Pull back from giving or press in?
Press in.
What does that mean to be pressed in? So we're
I
talking about
want
giving now. It's talking about giving. And when your finances feel tight, what is your first instinct when it comes to giving? Do you pull your money back? And we talk about giving to the ministry, giving to God, pulling your money back or pressing in and giving him more?
I would want to say press in and give him more because that's where our financial blessings come from.
Okay.
From the
What
sacrifice.
does it say, Zanita?
I was agreeing with him and I was saying for the sacrifice.
For the sacrifice. So right now, if you only had $100 to your name, right, and you had a bill
that was $100, what would be your decision?
Yeah.
Do I give to church, or to give to God, or go pay that bill?
Give to God. Janita?
I'm sorry. Yes, it will be to give to God. It'd be
Okay.
hard. But
Okay. Okay,
but
cool.
also
So,
I have to think
oh,
of
okay. Yeah.
so that would be like an offering, right? And so if we're giving God our first fruit, it's really not a thing of if I only have $100, am I gonna pay this bill? Because if we're giving him our first fruit, that to me, for me, it just wouldn't be a question. If that makes sense to you.
Right, so would you give him $100, or you just give him a piece of $100? Because the bill is $100. And to keep your lights on, it's cost $100. You only have $100, and you're stuck between giving the $100, giving some of that to God, or giving it all to keep your lights on. What's your decision?
I mean, I would give to God.
I'm just asking questions. I mean, don't get upset with
And
me.
I'm just trying to understand it, I guess. Because like I said, if I've already given my tithe, because that's without question the first thing I'm going to do when I get paid, I pay my tithe.
Everybody don't believe in tithing.
Well, that's what this class is for.
Which that's what now?
I said that's what this class is for. For
It is.
those that follow you, follow what the word says. And so if the word is saying that we ought to do our, to pay our tithes, which is the first fruit, first thing we do, when we get our money, then that's what you do. And whatever you have left, because I mean, it's not like he's asking, he's in God asking for 50%. He's asking for 10. And you should be able to manage 90%, to handle everything else.
Yeah, but Darrell don't believe in tithing. Darrell believes in giving. He don't believe in 10%. Darrell just believes in giving. So what's he supposed to do? Pay the bill? Or what?
That's a hard one to me. Because if you're just giving, you might have a mentality, well, I can give next time I get paid. I might can just, double up or something next time I get paid.
Come on, Darrell, jump on in here. I'm using your name. Uh-oh, he must have stepped away. Okay.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. I had to find my other AirPod. I'm sorry. But so you said the difference between tithing?
No. So I made a scenario just to say, I use this as I say, you don't believe in, and not saying this is you, I was just using you. You don't believe in tithing. You just believe in giving. Because you believe tithing is something that happened in the Old Testament. You just believe in giving to God. So if your bill is $100, all you got is $100, and you need to give to God, what do you do?
I'm gonna give to God.
But how much of it?
All of it.
The whole 100?
The whole 100.
And your life's about to be cut off?
That's a risk I'm gonna take.
It's a risk you're going to take. Wow. Wow, man! I wish we had some other people on here, because I'm of the same understanding as the belief of Zanita. The bill's $100, but if I'm practicing to give God my piece of the first fruit of what I have, I'm going to give him. I'm going to get him to start out with the 10%, which I'm going to give him 10 of that dollars and get 90 to the peoples. Actually, for me, I'm going to give 10 of the dollars to Jesus, 10 to myself. 10 of my savings and 70 to the peoples, and just pray my life stay on. That's how I like to give. Right? So here's another thing. What does the instinct tell, what does that instinct tell you about where you trust, where your trust actually live. I can't read. What does the decision you just made, what does that instinct tell you about where your trust actually lives?
It tells you that your trust lives with our Lord and Savior.
Okay. Okay. All right. So text reads, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or he will will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. I wanted to read all those verses. So let's just go look right at it from verse 24. Again, and just read all of it. You cannot worship God, two gods at once. Loving one God, you'll end up hating the other. Adoration of one feels content for the other. You can't worship God and money both, and money both. If you decide for God, living a life of God worship, it follows that you don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtimes or whatever the clothes in your closet are in fashion. There is far more in your life than the food you put in your stomach, more to your outer appearance than the clothes you hang on your body. Somebody pick up reading right there.
Look at the birds, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, careless in the care of God, and you count far more than more to him than birds.
Keep going.
Has anyone by fussing in the front of the mirror ever gotten taller by so much as an inch? All this time and money wasted on fashion, do you think it makes that much a difference? Instead of looking at the fashions, walk out into the fields and look at the wildflowers. They never primp or shop. But have you ever seen color and design quite like it? The 10 best men and women in the country look shabby alongside them. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never ever seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you?
Right. That's where we are. If God would take care of the wildflowers in the field, he takes care of all this other stuff. Don't you think God would take care of you? So why we get stuck on all the up fashions and all this other stuff when we ought to really concentrate on who God is and going about what God does, right? No one can serve two masters. You can't serve clothes and God. Money and God, you got to choose one or the other. You cannot serve God. Cannot do that. That's why it jumps down to verse 33. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all the other things shall be added unto you. Understand this. This passage sits in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus has just addressed giving, verses 6, chapter 6, verse 1 to 4, which we dealt with 2 weeks ago. Prayer and he dealt with a prayer. And it's verses 5 through 15, and fasting, verses 16 through 18. Now he turns to money, and his language is stark. You guys understand this? Y'all understand this passage? We've been in this passage before. So if you look at it's a Message translation. That's what we was reading, the Message translation. Both of those Message translation. I didn't mean to do that. I'm so sorry. I was trying to give us the English translation, but anyway, y'all got the gist of it. That's why it sounded so funny, right? Because verse 1 says, beware of practicing your righteousness before the people and be seen of them. Then you have no reward of the Father in heaven. And so it goes right into the deal with disciples' prayer that we always look at as well. And when you pray, you must not pray, or must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. They truly say, I mean, truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go in your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret
reward you. And so you've heard this passage of scripture before. You've dealt with this passage of scripture before, because it talks about prayer, talks about fasting. But in this particular part of the chapter, it literally talks about money, which ends with seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You cannot serve two masters. This is not the, it's not a suggestion about financial balance. It's a declaration about divided loyalty. So many of us in the body of Christ are trying to please God and please man, please the spirit and please our flesh. And it's hard. It's hard. It's not all that easy, because you want what you want. Am I right or wrong?
True.
You want what you want. And because you want what you want, you have to put yourself in a position I think this will work. You put your, hey Irma, you put yourself in a position that causes problems on both hands, because your focus is not on God, your focus is on man. Now, I'm going to ask the question, but you might want to answer it. I mean, you might feel like answering it, and you might not want to answer it. When one is not focused, here's the question. What is your ratio of your focus on God and everything else? Does God get 50% of you, or your focus? Does he get 75% of your focus? Does he get 99% of your focus? What is his focus in your life? How much focus does God get from you? Anybody can ask. If you don't want to ask, it's fine with me. I can't see your face, so I can't tell what y'all doing. But everybody has to choose on which path they're going to go. I'm either going to give God 100% of myself or 100% of myself, 50% of myself. And you can be honest with it. You can be honest with it. Everybody has their different levels, but understand that God is always 100% with you. God is always 100% with you. He's never less than 100% with you. Right? So you got to choose. I'm either going to serve my flesh and make my flesh happy, or I'm going to serve God. And it's not easy. It's hard. Trust me right now. I'm telling y'all right now, just a few hours ago, right, I ordered lunch for my wife and I, you know, because last week before she go back to school, I ordered lunch because I didn't get to cook none, so I ordered something, Darrell. Darrell, I ordered chicken wings. I'm sorry, Irma. Chicken wings and pizza. Forgive me, Irma. I know it's not healthy, but it was so good. So chicken wings and pizza, right? And chicken wings fulfilled me. I was happy. But my, what's that song say? My mind is telling me no, but my body. No, my mind was telling me no, but my flesh is like, eat that pizza, eat that pizza, eat that pizza. Right? My flesh was calling. It was, Darrell, I'm telling you. And I did not. I let the pieces right now in the kitchen. I'm at least 25 feet away from it. Right? I mean, because it had to be away from me, because I want to please God and not be gluttonous. Right? And anybody that knows me, I have been gluttonous before. Yes, I have. You don't have to tell the truth about yourself. All right. So I'm learning even more and more to choose God more and more than choosing my intentions or choose my desires. See, that's what messes us up. Our desire is not really focused into what God desires for us. All right? All right. Any questions before I move on? All right. That's a no. Did Irma say hello to me? Is that about you, Mom?
You were talking. I wasn't going to interrupt while you were speaking.
Hi, Irma.
Hey.
All right. Here's the big guy's idea, as they say. Consistent worshipful giving is how you can cast your vote for God. Consistent worshipful giving is how you can cast your vote for God. Now we're going back to the whole vote piece, you know, but how God wins is we are consistent and our worshipful giving. That's how he wins. All right. Scripture says, can't serve God and money. The word money in the text is, in the King James Version, or the original text, is mammon. Mammon. You guys have, oh, Irma, if you got the church app open, if you go to, open the church app, go to more, and then go to notes. You can pull up the notes for this class. It's, we're on session 5. Let me know when you got it.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Just for a quick second, can you go back to the other slide? I really appreciate it.
Are you screenshotting my stuff?
No, I'm trying to take notes, but you were going a little fast.
Yeah, I always tell me to slow down, guys. Always tell me to slow down. You found it, Irma?
Yes, the one that says 4, 5, and 6.
Yes, scroll down halfway, you see session 5.
Okay, I'm done. Thank you so much.
Well, God bless you, Lady Jerry. God bless who? You. All right. So if you look at the notes, guys, it says teaching points. Two masters cannot occupy the same throne. Matter of fact, somebody read that for me.
Two masters can occupy the same throne. Every financial decision declares allegiance to one or the other. Mammon is not just money. It is money as a source of security, identity, and trust. Jesus is confronting a posture, not a paycheck. Consistent giving is a trust exercise. It says, I believe God will provide what I cannot see yet. Seek first. Matthew 6:33, the word, read all of it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. The word first connects directly to session four's first fruits principles. Order declares priority, the promise, all these things will be added to you. God does not ask us to choose between provision and obedience. He asks us to trust him with both. Scarcity mindset says, I can't afford to give. Kingdom mindset says, I can't afford not to.
Awesome. Hello, Geraldine. How are you, dear? Thank you for joining us. Geraldine, if you got the church app open, you go down to more and go to notes. Oh, who's that?
Yeah, it's me.
Okay, so you go, you see notes in the app?
I do.
It says sessions 4, 5, and 6. It's the first one, stewardship sessions 4, 5, and 6. You see that?
Yep, I do.
We're in session 5.
Okay. All Thank right. you.
Yes. So you guys heard her read about mammon. And so we're back into that space. Who is it? Right. Of what mammon is. Wealth as a system and trust and security. Just as currency, the thing you look to when you want to feel safe. What is mammon to you all? What is that thing that you look to feel safe? What is it that you look to?
You said, what is it that we look to to feel safe?
Yeah, so mammon, the word mammon, which is talks about wealth because of servitude masters, he served God or served money, which is a word used for the word money comes from the word mammon. So the question is, what is it that you look to when you want to feel safe? Is it money? Is it your job? Is it your boo? Is it, what is it?
God and my husband.
Okay. Okay. Systems of trust and security. Anybody else? Anybody else?
I mostly look to God, to be honest, yeah. He's a supreme protector.
Okay. So for me, I too for security, I look to God. I do not look to finances and directly. Let me clean that up. I look to God because God is controlling my finances. God is this joy and the strength of my, he's the source of my strength of my life, right? So I look to God because he brings me most security, and I trust him more than I trust ADT. I trust him more than I trust a Glock or 365 or a 22, or I trust him more than I trust a knife. I trust God. So I God becomes my strength. God becomes the source of my strength. So it's, so he controls my currency, because my income comes from his outpour. Am I making sense? If I can't see you, I got to hear you. So my income comes from God's outpour. So he's my strength. Six truths about giving and trust. Guys, ready? Two masters cannot occupy the same throne. Every financial decision declares allegiance. Did you screenshot this or write them down? Mammon is money as security, identity, and trust. A lot of people miss the scripture that says, what is it? The root of all evil is money. That's not true. Money is not evil. It's how we use money. The love of money is what messes us up. The love of money is what messes us up. So mammon or money or that which is uses security, identity, or trust, Jesus confronts a posture, not a paycheck. Which what Irma read. Consistent giving is a trust exercise. She read this. I believe God will provide what I cannot see yet. I'm in that place right now in my own life. I got property taxes due. I got student loans due. But you know what I made sure I did? I made sure I gave God his already. And so I have to make do with what I got for the rest of it. Right? It's the position I'm in. It's the principle that I hold, that God gets the glory first. Right? So I consistent in my giving. Being consistent in my giving is a trust exercise. I trust God because he's already trusted me with it. All right. Then there's the verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, which suggests that we connect directly to, which connects directly to the first food principle that we did last week. Real quick, who can regurgitate the real meaning behind first fruits, that whole passage?
Who can regurgitate it?
Well, who could explain it real quick?
That's easy.
It says, give unto God your wealth and your first fruit. Offer unto him your wealth, your first fruit. Who can properly exegete or break that text down, since we were just on it last week?
Well, basically, you know, you get your first fruits, not your leftovers. But your so when you get paid, or when you do whatever you do and you get your money, you give, they say, 10% of that before you give. Really, it should be even before taxes. But we live how we live in the United States of America. Uncle Sam gets here. So, but you're supposed to give off the growth.
Now,
that would be your first.
lady, you keep using this word 10%. You keep using it because, I mean, that's where you are. And I'm with it. I'm with it all of the way. I just want to poke the bear just a little bit. Even if it's not the 10%, it's the first or something from, he gets the first offering from whatever you've grown. He gets the first offering from your increase. We started, some people started 20%. Some people started 10. Some people ain't got their faith ain't up to 10 yet. So they give what they believe they can, but at least God gets his first. Right. So I want to just stress that, because I don't want anybody on here to ever think beyond what we've been teaching, because we've been so victified by and vilified by the word tithe or 10%. While we do understand scripture says that we ought to give 10%, that is that, and it's for some of us a starting point, which is a logical starting point, but other people have not gotten there. And I don't want you who have not gotten there yet to be spooked, but I want to challenge you to at least get up to 10%. I struggled because my cards were stolen. I couldn't give like I normally give when I got paid, because the money was in the bank. But I didn't have the cards that attached to my giving platform. I couldn't give, and I struggled because I'm like, I can buy all this other stuff, but I can't give because the app won't accept the way I can give. But soon them cards came in the mail. Man, I've hit that app, that giving, that big old heart on the app, paid my tithes and or gave my offering. Right? And so God has to come first. Yes.
So if you give your 10% and you said give over, so would you still say if you gave over your ten percent, is that still considered tithe, or is over the 10% considered now an offering?
So this is how I've clarified it, because my dedication to God, my starting point, it's all offering. It's all offering, right? Every piece of his offering. But the first part of my offering is my tithe of my 10%. I'm going to start there. It's all offering. But if all I can give is my tithe or my 10%, I'm still in the same process of giving. Right? That makes sense to you? Because some of us, get this, some people tithe, some people just give offering. It's all offering. It's up to how people categorize it. Now, if they're going to call it the tithe, it's 10%. The name says it in itself. If we're going to tithe to God, that's 10%. That's all that is. If we'll give, either way it go, we're giving an offering. But if you're going to specifically say tithe, tithe equals 10. That makes sense?
Yes, it does.
Yes.
Okay. All these things will be added means that God does not ask us to choose between provision and obedience. And that's what I'm pushing with the whole thing. So I give out obedience. God is not asking us to choose between provision and obedience. Right? Seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all the other things shall be added unto you. Me seeking God and his righteousness makes me believe that my heart is in a place that I desire to give. And because I desire to give, God then honors my giving by giving me what I desire. That makes sense?
Yes.
Okay. So scarcity says, I can't afford to give. Kingdom says, I can't afford not to. And that's where I am. I can't afford not to give to God. Student loan will have to wait. ComEd and the Cook County Assessor's office is going to have to wait, and I have to pray God keep my property, because I'm going to give him his first now. Now, if I've given him his and I still don't do what I'm supposed to do, it ain't got nothing to do with God. It's because I didn't take care of the rest of the part of my stewardship. I hope that's making sense. I didn't pay my car note because I gave to God, but you could have sent your car note something. Come on. I didn't pay. I'm into school. There are moments where I don't pay all of my tuition, but they get something, because I'm gonna give God his first. Before I put gas in my car, I'm gonna give God his first, because I know he's gonna make a way to give me some gas. Am I making sense?
You are.
Okay. Are you with me?
Yes.
Rail, you with me?
Yes.
Okay. I know Zanita with me already. If not, I want a divorce right now. No. that was funny. I'm sorry. Scarcity mindset versus kingdom mindset. Scarcity mindset says, I'll give when I have enough. On the other side, kingdom mindset says, I'll give because I trust the source. Screenshot this. Take it down. Scarcity mindset says, pull back when money's tight. Kingdom mindset says, press in when money is tight. Give anyway. Press your way to give. Trust, and scarcity mindset, trust the balance. Another other mindset, spiritual mindset, kingdom mindset says, trust the provider. Yeah. Scarcity mindset says, giving feels like a loss. Kingdom mindset says, giving is the act of worship. I love that one right there. When I give, they're like, man, I ain't got no more money to do. No. I give because he first gave it to me. I wouldn't have it if he had not made provisions for me to get it. The last one, awaits, scarcity mindset waits for security first. Gerald, I'm going to wait on my boo first. I'm going to wait on that. Then I'm going to wait on God. No, Keenan says, I'm going to see God first. I guarantee y'all right now, Zanita is not going to look to me first. She's going to look and say, hey, God, yo, I need you. And then she'll come and say, hey, bud. Hey, honey. We need to have a meeting. I hate those conversations. I hate when she said that. We need to have a finance meeting. A finance meeting? This is not church. A finance meeting. We're going to have a finance meeting. And that finance meeting, we're going to pray and talk about our finances. We trust God, but we're going to make some. We're going to make it make sense. Because what's that lady, Miss Ruby say? If it don't make money, it don't make sense. What's that show?
Yeah, Sweet, the food show.
Sweetie Pie. Yeah. Any questions so far? All right.
Nope.
So let's build from where we started last week. First fruits taught us that order declares priority. Trust teaches us that giving is how we vote for God. Y'all see how we're matching up here? Jesus said, is question number one. Jesus says, you will love one master and despise the other. And y'all, I want y'all to answer these questions tonight. In your honest opinion, which one do your financial habits show more devotion to? God or the security money provides? Come on, be honest. Don't be religious, be honest.
I personally, the security money provides, unfortunately.
Okay, thanks for being honest. Irma, go ahead, you say
it. Same with me, security money provides.
All right, Darrell Zanita?
I plead the Fifth Amendment.
So, say the question again. Wait a minute, let me read it.
It's on the screen.
You know, here's the deal.
I love it when she said that. Here's the deal. And her head goes inside.
I find comfort in the security that my money gives me. But I could never despise God.
So the question is, which one do your financial habits show more devotion to?
It would have to be, I guess, the security that the money provides.
Which one is your husband?
He's definitely the God.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. And be honest, Anita, is that sometimes a strain?
It can be, yeah.
Is it more strain or more comforting?
It depends on the day.
Good answer. All right, here's question two. What does it feel like? Go back. What did you say, Anita?
I think with that too, that makes a difference also, it, to a point that it, when you're married, that if both of you guys are on the same page with the security, which one? I tried, honestly,
Yeah, we try.
to with my God, but then when if your partner is not in that same, and not that he's not, he doesn't believe in God and he follows that, but then it becomes a strain when it, what am I trying to say? When the security is the money security part is more, it's kind of unbalanced, I'm gonna put it that way.
That's why they need to be calling up family meetings. She does that. We never financial meeting. And she'll tell you, I sit in those meetings and like, well, bae, I trust her. And this, and I know it's annoying. I know it's annoying. I'll be sitting there, I hold my hands like this, and I'll twiddle my thumbs like, I hear you, and I'm doing the best I can. And trying to and I'm trying to find a way to do more without going cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. But the fact of the matter is I trust God to bring us through it.
Honestly, I think that what you just described, even though I'm the one who's more, involved, the church, things like that. Devon is more that way, actually, because he'll tell me when I'm stressed, like, don't you believe in God? So yeah. And sometimes I think it flip flops, but I think he's more. He's more like you in that sense, and I think maybe so. Oh yeah, now I'm saying it out loud. Okay, maybe it's me.
Where's Mike at? I need to know where Mike is. Mike, are you listening to this conversation, dog? Which one is it for you, dog? Oh, Jesus. Can y'all still hear me?
Yes, I
Okay, it got real quiet. Like, kind of scared me. All right, here's question two. What
say
does it
this
feel
too.
like? Go ahead,
But
go ahead, go ahead.
matters though. Sometimes maybe the, I'm just saying maybe the person that actually handles the books see it that way. Because they actually real time firsthand. So maybe that's the
I tell you guys this story often. I tell you guys often. Bishop T.D. Jakes said to me, we were in a meeting, and I was at Bishop Pastor Cory Brooks Church. And I said, how was it that you and the CFO, what's your relationship? I said, because my guy and I, we bump heads. He says, if y'all got along, it'll be a problem. He says, because you have to understand the point of view that they're looking from. Bishop Jake said to me, preachers or those who are in ministry see things from a different point of view than those who deal with the books. And sometimes it's hard for the person who did the books to see Jesus. That's why those who see Jesus have to continue to be around. Deacon Hawkins and I, he'll be listening to this live, listen to this recording one soon, I hope. He and I don't see eye to eye on several things. And I've let that become reconciled in my life because I just give up right now on certain things because I know which lens he's looking through. And I know that I'm the light he needs to see of hope. Because he's looking at numbers and saying, this ain't gonna work, this ain't happening. And all this stuff. And he's like, I don't see it. And I said, I understand, but I do. So I have to keep showing him hope. And I always say, I trust God. And just as I say, I trust God, God works it out in our favor at Spirit Redeemed Church. And sometimes I believe that it's my faith that's carrying the church. Because I've wondered sometimes about the membership and our partners in ministry about their faith, because I'm like, Lord, my faith ain't waning, but dude, I'm tired. I'm tired. I need some faithful folks to have faith, to be faith-filled, right? So Zanita definitely is that person. She sees the numbers for what they are. And I see Jesus for who he is. And I'm willing to trust him and wait on him, even when it hurts. And that it could hurt. Come on, anybody else?
It definitely can hurt.
Okay. I'm sorry that it hurts any. I'm sorry I'm hurting you. But I trust God. Just want you to know that I trust him. I hear up there. I hear up there squealing. I hear you up there laughing. All right. Here's question two. What does it feel like to give when your finances are tight? Oh, what is it? What does it? What does that feeling reveal about your theology of perfection?
You want us to be honest, right?
Yes, yes.
Oh, Lord.
I did not read these questions beforehand, so this is fresh. Go ahead. Go ahead, Jordan.
Frustrated, overwhelmed, because I don't be having enough to stretch what I need to get God and still pay bills. So it gets a little frustrating. And sometimes I'm a little selfish. I can say that. Sometimes I'll pay a bill and don't pay God. Or put him last instead of first. So I can't say that I am selfish when finances are tight.
Gerald, you're not by yourself, girl. I know some people on here the same way.
I'm trying to get better. I'm trying to get better, but
I know some people that's not on here the same way. But so what does that feeling reveal about your theology of provision?
Explain that to me. What's theology of provision?
So theology, I want to give you the real definition of theology, because I just had a final, guys, and my definition of theology was interesting, but it was on point. So I'm saying it was on point. So let me give you the textbook. Excuse me for a second. I gotta get the right thing. Textbook definition of theology. Yeah, that's what I want to do. The textbook, because clearly that textbook will get you jacked. Okay. And the textbook version is a lot better than my version anyway, I ain't gonna lie. mine is really too wordy. Where is it at? Are you trying to find stuff? Watch it. It is right here. So that was one of the questions on the test. I was so wordy. Oh my God, it was horrible. So definition. Oh, okay. I can give you my version, because that's the question. What is the definition of doctrine? So theology is your belief. Theology is your belief in something. So let me change. What does that feeling reveal about your belief of provision?
It shows that I don't trust. I'm not gonna say I try. I'm trying, but it shows that I'm not trusting God as much as I should be.
Okay, we can deal with that. Who else is next? Come on. What's it feel like, Irma, Zanita, Darrell? To give when your finances are tight.
What does it feel like to give when your finances are tight? It feels, it almost, how can I put it in words? I want to say strange. But at the same time, as I'm giving, I'm saying, Well, God, I'm trusting in you. You know, so I don't know what that reveals about my theology.
Okay. Anybody else? Anybody, 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 anybody?
Lord.
I'm sorry, I got this house music thing in my spirit today. Okay, I'm sorry.
I would say frustrating, stressful.
That's
Yeah, I
good.
mean,
Yes, I like that. I
and I
like that.
look, I think, especially when you know you're trying and you feel like, I'm not gonna say you're doing your best, but you feel as if you're doing your best. And trying to manage and trying to juggle and trying to it's stressful, and then you still look at the bottom line, and I'm talking about just a financial thing here, because it can be in other, I think it can be in other areas also.
Okay.
When you look at the bottom line and it's still a negative, you know, and it's almost like, okay, what am I doing? What's the purpose? Am I just, and I'm gonna say this, you know, because me and a friend of mine, Sandra, just said, yeah, are we, it's almost like just job related. Are you just working to pay bills? Are you working to just survive at that moment from paycheck to paycheck almost? So it's stressful.
It's stressful. I just had to put the feeling wheel up there. Can y'all see that?
Within.
Okay. Can anybody find the word stressful on there? I know I can't make it big on my side. Can you all make it big on your side?
Oh, you said stressful, stressful.
Would stressful be considered overwhelmed, which means anxious? Does that frustration mean that overall you're scared of something? You feel helpless, rejected, insecure?
All the everything you just named, all the above for me,
Oh,
but I'm
yeah?
still looking for stressful on the wheel. Where is it?
Yeah. Because everything I just mentioned is on the wheel. Under scared. Under the umbrella of scared. So why are you scared of giving? Right? Are you embarrassed about your giving situation? You feel inadequate. You feel helpless, submissive, all these things. So you got to understand what makes you scared about giving and frustration.
All of that you just named.
And honestly, then we move over to the stress will then push you to somewhat being mad. Anything's a far mad. So how do we counteract these things, right? How do we counteract these things that we see in these particular situations? As it pertains to me, I understand the stress of when it comes to giving. But I'm not stressed out when it comes to giving. I'm actually, when it comes to giving, only time I get stressed when I ain't got nothing to give. That's when I become stressed because I feel like I've let God down. But when it comes to giving, I feel free, like a load has been lifted because I can get, I'm giving, I'm taking care of God. Everything else is gonna happen. That's why that seek ye first the kingdom of God and the rest of Abby energy. Yeah, I'm that person. My giving, I'm happy. I trust when I give, I really trust God. I'm only sad at the giving moment when I ain't got nothing to give. I feel embarrassed. How dare you not have something to give our God? But hey, then I'm reminded that if I've given what I've had when I had it, then I give it another way, my time and my talent. Are y'all still with me? So what that means about my theology about a provision, God's always giving. God has given me so much. I can give him something from somewhere. If I got it in greenbacks, we good. God called me today. God called me today. He called me his pastor. I am not his pastor. That's what he just calls me. He said, I was just trying to see. I know what you're going to say, but I just see if I can get something out of you today. I mean, I need a little help. I says, well, because I'm a giver, I got a jar of pennies right here for you. They don't make pennies no more. So these may be more than a penny to you. If you want them, you got them. He just started laughing. He said, I knew you was going to say, because I'm a giver. And that's how I stay blessed. I don't know what rabbit they need to be pulling stuff out. How does it even pulling a rabbit out the hat? But I know I trust God. He always makes a way through Zanita's hands and her ingenuity and her strategies to make sure we got what we need. Because I Bishop, trust God.
I'm sorry. For me, is I'm a giving person. It's just I give in other ways. I give in time and things of that nature.
Yeah, but did you get the money first, though? When you had it,
I got to have some in order to give it.
Right, but wait, but when you got it, does he get that first?
No, because if it'd be Bill due at that time.
Okay, so let's go back to it. Bill be due. Who controls the bill?
He does.
So why we don't take care of him before we take care of the people? Who is supposedly supplying the merch for the bill?
I'm gonna be honest. It'd be hard for me to trust God and trust that my lights gonna stay on. I don't want to be homeless. I don't want my lights turned off. I don't want my car repos. So I gotta pay those things.
See, you so were late. You were late. You were late. So I gotta go back and get it now, y'all. She was late. I gotta go back and get it, y'all. She was late. She was late, Zanita. She was late.
First lady, now help me. Irma. Irma, where y'all at? Help me.
Yeah, she was late. I gotta go ahead and get it. Yeah.
Oh, that was an ouch moment. I just read.
Okay. Okay, yeah. All right, here, right. Well, Jordan, read.
Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money.
Wait, I got some more for you. I got some more for you, sugar.
Lord.
This is the most, yeah. What? I gotta give you the word of God. Yeah.
See, now but you now feel like God gonna give me.
Come on, read, sister, read.
Look at the verse, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, careless in the care of God, and you count far more to him than birds. Has anyone, by fussing in front of the mirror, ever gotten taller by so much as an inch? All this time and money wasted on fashion. Do you think it makes you right that much of a difference? It don't. Instead of looking at the fashions, walk out into the fields and look at the wild flowers. They never primp or shop. But have you ever seen color and design quite like it? The 10 best dressed men and women in the country look shabby alongside them.
Right. Go ahead.
If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never seen. Don't you think he'd attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you?
True.
Jordan,
did you read that?
Yes, I did, and I processed it too.
I didn't want to put no words in your mouth. I wanted you to read the word of God for yourself.
Lord.
Yes. So what was that about the lights again?
That's all, you're right. I'm gonna send them. I'm giving my money to God first, and then whatever left, that's gonna go to the light.
I'm just asking. I mean, I'm not putting you on the spot. I'm just asking questions according to scripture. We say we're believers, right? So I'm asking questions. You know. Okay. Here's question number three. Got two more to go. We're one more to go. Rather, how does seek the kingdom connect with the first fruit principle from session four? What does putting God first in the order of your finances say to God about your trust? Answer, please. Now, y'all gonna answer these tonight. About to call everybody name. You gonna answer these tonight. Like Bernie Mac will say.
Mine is obviously I don't trust God enough. At least not like I thought I was.
Zanita, you there? Hello?
Here.
Huh?
I was just actually thinking, well, it says, what does putting God first in the order of your finances say to God about your trust? So when I put him first, he'll take care of everything else.
Put your trust in Jesus, he'll make everything all right. Put your trust in Jesus, he'll make everything all right. Okay, I'm sorry. Darrell? Irma?
Yes, uncle.
Answer the question.
Can you repeat it?
How does seek first the kingdom connect to the first fruit principle from last week? What does putting God first in the order of your finances say to God about your trust? Personally.
That you put your complete trust in him and not in your money.
But is that how you? And you talking about currently, right? Seeking God, seeking first His kingdom, is connected to last week's message. But what does putting God first and the order of your finances? What does that mean for you?
That I put God first.
Okay, well, somebody else elaborate on that. Anybody? Oh, it's only two people left, Irma and Zanita. Okay, come on, elaborate. This is good.
I gave my answer.
Huh?
I gave my answer.
Oh, so it's just only Irma. Excuse me, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Well, Irma, I think Sister Gary said you up.
For the most part, because God, I think my problem is trusting me and making my the right decisions sometimes.
Oh.
Irma, I felt that. I felt that.
Oh.
I trust you. It's me. It's not, I don't think, in making the right decision. So, I mean, that's where I'm at.
Come on, Irma.
Read that, Irma.
Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own.
Why are you trying to trust you?
You know what? I think because a lot of times I don't consult God before I do things. Or before I make some decisions. And I say that in the vein of at one point, I was, and if we're just being honest, I was real consistent on top of tithing and offering and extra, you know, and we're just talking about finances right now. I was real consistent. And I was so consistent in that realm of it that I was, and I was also doing the same thing. Hold on. I'm sorry, guys. I still got a house relationship.
I understand.
I was so consistent because I had it that I felt that being having it when once I gave God his, and when others came to ask, because I'm like, you know, God put me in a position where I have it, and thank God I can have it, as opposed to be, I could be the, and I would say the giver, not the borrower. Because I wouldn't say the lender, because I wouldn't give anything that I didn't feel at that time that I didn't have to give, or looking at it as I gave others to the point where I didn't need it, if that makes sense. I didn't put my, didn't think I was putting myself in a bind.
Right.
But I did not consult God before I gave that. So that's kind of what I mean. And it was landing in the wrong places, or it maybe that wasn't what God needed me to give that particular person as far as finances.
Read verse 6. For Proverbs 3. Read verse 6.
All right. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. And at the time, honestly, at the time, I thought I was, but and I'm looking at now, did I truly listen and did I truly consult and wait on the response?
Okay. There we go. Okay. We know better, we do better, right?
Absolutely.
I am not making this up. This is Bible. And that was a message translation. Here's our fourth final question. The renter says, to go back to the first two sessions, the renter says, I'll give you when I get in, when I have enough. The owner says, I give because I trust the one who owes it all. What posture more honestly describes where you are right now? Are you more of a renter mindset or owner mindset?
Before?
No, right now.
I'm saying before I used to be owner mindset. Now I think I'm more renter mindset.
Anybody else?
I'm in a renter mindset, unfortunately. But I'm trying to get that to an owner mindset.
Anybody else? Okay, well, let me jump. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think that I'm more, you know, if we had a dial, I guess I would say I'm more of the owner side than the renter side.
Okay. And I will say this, such to those who say you back into the renter space. It's easy to slip back into the renter space when you're not focused truly on who God is or what God can do. Yeah, there are going to be moments when your faith becomes a little bit weak or challenged. But the word of God is what builds you back up. And this is a building back up moment. So you cannot believe that you are having an owner's mindset, which says, I trust the one who owns it all. I trust God. He has never failed. Never has he failed me yet. Right? So we have to get that mindset. What is the only area, what is one area where if you could access, you don't have to ask this online. What is one area where fear of scarcity has been controlling my financial decisions more than faith in God's provision? What's in one area? You have to, if you want to, you could say it, but if, you know, some people are super private. What is one area where fear of scarcity has been controlling my financial decision more than faith in God's provision?
Are you talking about the Saturday list that you had up
No, your own
off of that?
so in your own list, in your own situation, what is one area where fear of not having has been controlling your financial decisions more than your faith in God?
I'll give it when I get it. That's been a fail.
So let me give you an example. I only have one area of fear. That's my marriage. My fear is I my fear when it comes to finance is that I don't have enough to make sure Zanita is happy. That's the only fear I have is that I'm not in a position to make sure she has what she needs because I know of her fears. And as is provided in my house, her fear becomes my fear. And I have to pray earnestly and believe harder than ever that her fear doesn't take a hold of me because I am the one who's trying to keep her from falling to her fear and keeping her eye on Christ. And that's not putting her down. Just talking about that's for me and for my marriage. That makes sense now? Is that
Yeah,
better
it does.
context, you guys?
Yeah, it's
So
better. So
within context. Okay, go ahead.
my fear is, like I told you before, my lights being shut off, my rent, me being homeless again, my car being repo again. You know, those are my fears. So unfortunately,
No,
that's where.
and so we're not going to use unfortunate. It's fortunate that you know where it is.
Yeah, I'm aware of it.
So now you that you're aware of it, that becomes your prayer point that God will build you up in that area. That it no longer comes to fear. It can be a concern, but it doesn't have to be a fear. Fear overtakes you and cripples you. A concern is I see it, and that's all I need to know. I can see it. But and so with so I can see it, but it's not gonna cripple me, right?
How can I make my mind? I don't know how to put this, but like it's just not an. I can internally, you know, pray, pray and that the fear is not there, and not saying that God not gonna take it away, but in my
It's
mind
on the screen.
is still there.
It's on
You're
the
right.
screen.
Trust God. You're right.
It's on the screen.
Bishop, this that's hard for me. It's hard for me to trust anybody, especially when it includes
Okay.
God
Wait, wait,
with
wait.
my.
But do you
This is
trust him to
hard.
let you breathe? Does he trust? No, it's not as hard as you think. Do you trust him to give you breath to breathe?
I do.
If he can do something miraculous as that, why don't you trust him to do something as simple as get you money to pay your bill?
Don't know.
Because ultimately, he gives you life.
He does.
I trust him to give me life every day, right? So I'm going to trust him if he's going to give me life to give me the ability to live through life while life be life in. That makes sense? I
It
trust him
does.
to make I trust him to give him me life so he makes my burdens lighter. And it brings light to my dark spaces because I trust God from the bottom of my heart with everything I got. I don't understand his ways or know his ways all the way. So all I can do is trust him and watch him work. So if I can trust him to wake my behind up, why can't trust him to make sure the world works? Anybody else on here understand that principle? And I'm telling you how much we trust him. We make schedules for the next day that we ain't seen yet. That's how much we trust him. And we believe that he's gonna do it. So why we can't believe him to put milk in the refrigerator? The biggest of all of them is waking up. Everything else is an added situation. It's an amenity. Come on, talk back at your boy.
Maybe it's my mindset. I have to change my mindset.
Who's in control of that?
God is.
No.
Oh, no,
God
my
is
mindset.
Not control.
No,
yes.
You talking about my mindset? Oh, no, me. I'm in control of that. But the whole thing
yes.
is, like I said, I have to learn how to control that and
okay, no,
trust
no, no. Okay,
God
okay,
with
okay.
everything.
You keep giving me more ammunition. Do you love
Lord.
Mike?
I do.
How long did it take you to love Mike?
Right away.
So Mike ain't God.
He ain't.
You gonna trust Mike more you trust God?
No.
But so what's the difference? I gotta fix my mindset. No, just trust him. Just speak out of your mouth and do it.
Right.
No second guessing. I trust him. All right. I gotta get y'all out of here. Good night, Jordan. I don't think I'm jumping on. I ain't trying to jump on nobody.
Oh no. I don't think that this is helping me and helping me to understand and get my life right the way it should be. So
all right. Here's a week application. Give something this week that requires trust. Not a comfortable amount, but an amount that makes you depend on God to cover the rest. You know what that's going to be for me? That women's assessment. Right now, I don't got it. But
it's my car, Bishop. I need to get my car back. So I'm going to trust that he's going to get my car back.
Give something this week that requires trust. Right. So I'm giving to God because I believe he's going to make sure that you give it to God to make sure that because you believe God going to make sure your truck comes to pass. You believe God's going to give you the money for that truck.
Yep.
Second thing I want you to do is write out Matthew 6:33 and put it where you see it. When you pay your bills. For Zanita, that's on her desk. Or down the hallway, because I'm telling you, there's so many scriptures on the wall. And I get saved every day I go to my bedroom. I promise y'all, I get saved. I just stop and read the wall, because she done wrote the vision on the wall, people. Y'all ain't never been in my house up in the sanctum, the Zanita sanctuary. There's scripture all over the wall. I can't help but get saved every time I go to the bathroom. Don't be laughing, Zanita. I hear you weird out here. I can't help but get saved. You know what I'm saying? I could be in her office. And she got sticky tabs everywhere, scripture and affirmations. Jordan, she got me in the bathroom.
I'm over here cracking up.
She got me in the bathroom. I believe I can go to the bathroom.
First lady, I'm gonna have to take that and start putting affirmations everywhere. And,
you know what I'm saying?
Thank you, First Lady. Appreciate it.
So that's your assignment this week. That's your assignment this week.
I'm here about the
So session 4 with first fruits, order declares priority. Today's session was trust giving is how we vote to vote for God. Now next week's lesson won't be on proportion and measure against what we kept. Next week's lesson is going to be on what we hear on Sunday. We're going to expound on what we hear about Sunday, how that works toward giving. And then the following week we'll go to session 6, and then we'll take a 1 week break. And then hit it again. All right. All right. Anybody got any questions, any comments, any commentary for the preacher tonight? I'm all ears. All ears.
Bishop, that was Matthew 6:33, right?
Yes, 6:33.
Okay.
Good lesson.
Amen. Thank God for his word. Thank God for his word. I thank God. Thank you. Matter of fact, I need you to do me a favor. If you're on social media, just put something on your social media pages that you learned tonight in Bible class. You know, let people know you went to Bible class. I love y'all. I look forward to seeing y'all on Friday, if possible, for the women's game night, and Sunday all day for Women's Day. Two services. It's going to be amazing. Jordan, I'm believing God's going to make a way for you and your family to get that derailed too. Amen. All right.
Amen.
Anybody got any prayer requests that we need to hit before we get out of here tonight?
Sequence.
Praying for Sequence. Is she out of the hospital?
She is. She's home, resting.
Okay. Praying for Sequence and praying for all those who had wind issues and damage to their homes from the wind and the tornadoes. And please pray for my family as we funeralize my aunt, my oldest aunt on Friday, my Aunt Mary Ann. Please pray for my cousins, Vicky and JR. All right. Okay. Anything else? All right, let's do it. Father, in Jesus' name, we bless you, appreciate you for all that you are, all that you do, and all that you've been. Thank you for being the joy and the strength of our life. Thank you for being our God, our dad, being our father. Thank you for being our keeper and our mind regulator. Now, God, pray this word will work in us and work through us, that you might be glorified in all that we do and say, that it rests in our lives and mature in us, that we might do that which you called us in a better way. Now, bless us, your people today, God, spiritually, physically, financially, morally, and socially, for your glory is our prayer. In Jesus' name, and everybody say amen.
Amen.
See y'all this weekend.
Amen. Bye-bye. Have a good one.
You too now.